Hallelujah. Oh my God. Isn't he wonderful? Let us bow our heads. Oh gracious God, we thank you for your untiring and unending love. A love that reaches beyond the scope, understanding, the comprehension of mankind. Love that is rooted deeply within your eternal purpose. Of those that you have so graced and given such a glorious inheritance. Bless us, Lord, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, as we come into your word this morning, we ask that you give true light and understanding. We will know and understand the blessedness of the hope that so graciously is our lot. Now touch my body this morning and that might minister the word of God. And bless us in this hour as we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here we continue our discourse, and we shall continue our discourse, and it won't bother me to just wear this particular vein out. The glorious body of Christ, the church, amen. It doesn't matter to me whether we just continually talk about this and on and on and on and on and on. Amen. This is where we will eternally dwell. Those who are the elect of God. Eternity in the essence of Christ Jesus. In the eternal realm. Unending. Never ending. Amen. You can't say that about anything touching this life. I said this life. Amen. And it would do well for God's people. Don't expect the world to buy this, but it would do well for God's people to come to the realization that this is indeed, amen, what God has for us, what God intended for us, and that everything else that is happening is incidental to God's eternal plan. Amen. In other words, it doesn't matter as much. It does matter each day what happens to you, but know as you proportionally compare it to the eternal plan of God, it is in happenstance. Yeah. Amen. Whatever happens to you now is something that is just happening to you on your way to your eternal glorified state. And God's people must understand this as we look at the history of God's people. Amen. We see deliverance for some, and yet I can say to you, it's deliverance for all, but not from the testimony basis of life. Mm-hmm. Amen. There are times that God will heal his people. There are times that God won't heal his people.
That's right.
There are times that God will deliver you from financial stress, circumstances, and there are times that he won't deliver you. There are times that there are problematic situations that happen in your home, and God will come along and just straighten it right up, and then other times it will linger. And some things that come that throughout the course of life, they never pass. So, you can't give no special prescription and dictatorially, map out and strategize what God should do. What God should do is whatever God wants to do, because he's sovereign. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Amen. What we've got to do is to learn to say amen to his will.
Huh?
Whatever his will is, we say amen. We say amen and hallelujah. Amen to the essence of whatever God's choice is in every matter. Whatever his pleasure is. We operate at his pleasure. We breathe, we move at the pleasure of God. And everything that's going down is a manifestation
yes.
of what God has already planned and purpose and put into a decree.
Yes.
We're just acting it out.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. God's not making up anything as we go along
no
day by day.
No way.
And if we ever come to realize that we can relax
mm-hmm.
and get off of these stress trips.
Yes.
huh? All right. Let's go to Galatians where we usually start. And then from there, we're going into Colossians. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. As Elder Liberman shall be our reader this morning. And then we will quickly move to chapter 1 of Colossians. For the sake of time, I'm going to start there in the 18th verse. We'll read the entire context, but we had progress down to verse 18 and into 19 as we closed out last week. We are going to also touch this one scripture that I went over in the perfecting class, and for those that were not there, we'll touch on it this morning. That is John chapter 1, verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
All right, as we look at the essence of who Christ is as the head of this body. But at first, let us again just read for the record, amen, the composition of the body. All right? Everyone that has the 26th verse of the third chapter, Galatians, say amen.
Amen.
All right? Read.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male and female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
All right.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
All right. Now here, this is the promise of salvation according to the justification according to the faithfulness of Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
and his expiatorial sacrifice
mm-hmm.
That I might add is an eternal event
mm-hmm.
amen, actualized in the decree of God. It manifested in time at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And so this is the basis and the foundation of the salvation of all of God's people. All right, let's go to right quickly to Colossians chapter 1. Read the entirety of it, Elder verses 15 through 20. Then we will very quickly today move into where we shall basically be gleaning from today. All right? Everyone has the 15th verse of the first chapter of Colossians. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, reader, read.
Colossians 1:15.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the image of the invisible God,
mm-hmm.
the firstborn of every creature?
Mm-hmm.
For by him were all things created, there are in heaven and there are in earth, visible and invisible,
mm-hmm.
whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
Now, this is why we are taking so much time. We understand who Jesus is. He is God.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some that teach that God created the world by and through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
As though Jesus Christ was just a vessel
mm-hmm.
and an instrument
mm-hmm.
by which God created the world. That's what happens when you get into this thing of persons.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Jesus is the creator.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so when you read that, according to its intended cogitation, we won't go back over that today, basically, but we had given the expression there in that 17th verse that all things are held together by Him. Amen. Basically, you have both the instrumental case, which does mean by the means of, but you also have the locative case, which means in the sphere of, which means He is the cause. He is the creator. Amen. The action is being done not only through Him, but by Him. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And now we don't have to have the Father creating the world through Jesus Christ. So there's none of that nonsense. Amen. Jesus is God. All right. Now, in the 18th verse, read.
And He is the head of the body of the church.
And He, that is Jesus, is the head of the body of the church.
Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father.
And we said last week, and if you notice in your Bibles, if you have a King James, that word, the Father, is italicized. It does not belong there. And that it's not intended, amen, that this says that it pleased the Father. Amen. It pleased Him. It pleased Jesus that all, amen, the fullness would dwell in Him, in Jesus. Amen. So, well, what is that saying to us? You have a clear, amen, conclusional statement here that all things were by Him and for Him and to Him, and it pleased Him. And Him in every aspect is Jesus.
Yes.
And you are not robbing God anything because Jesus is God.
Absolutely.
Now we have problems. We have big time problems. Amen. If we're going to split the Godhead into a committee and three persons and have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now we're all confused because we don't know what to attribute to the Father, what to attribute to the Son, and what to attribute to the Holy Spirit. And we're all over the place, amen, because we have divided the Godhead, amen, and not realizing that there is only one intelligence center, one brain trust, and one emotional center. Amen. He is God. Yes, the Father. He is God the Father. But Jesus is God. He, the Son, Jesus is God. As well as the Holy Spirit is God. As all of these expressions, amen, emanating from the Godhead and giving expression to His work. His mightiful, manifold work. Amen. And so we must understand this. And the other part of understanding this is that to fully appreciate who you are as a member of the body of Christ and what it means to be a member of the body of Christ and to fully have the gratitude that we should have concerning being saved and being a Christian and being in the church, we must know and understand that He who has the church is God. Huh? So when we say Jesus is the head, we're saying God is the head. Amen. Anything less than that, it reduces the nature that we have been given to that which is less. Amen. Than the very nature of God.
Glory.
He has given you His very nature. Very nature of God. And when it gives the expression that you are heir of God and joint heir, and of course they say and if you looked into the grammar, you would never say joint heir, amen, with Christ. You are John heir of that which belongs to Christ.
Right.
Yeah. Huh? Amen. And that which belongs to Christ is that which belongs to God.
Yeah.
Amen. He has given you His nature.
Yes.
And you'll never understand and appreciate who you are until you get this business of the Godhead straight.
Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
No.
Glory.
What are you reading? Amen. Oh my God.
Verse 20.
All right, read.
Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto himself.
Mm-hmm.
By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
You see all of these personal pronouns, he, him, amen. You say, where is it? Jesus is the God. It is Jesus who is God. That's who it is. And don't you ever worry that you're shortchanging God if you give Jesus the praise. Huh? If you give Jesus the glory. Amen. To praise Jesus is to praise God. And to praise and to give Jesus the credit is to give God the credit. Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. No. Oh my God. Look at that clock. We're already way down the road here. Amen. And I am a cognizant of the fact, amen, that we have had a time change, so we're not to get nervous here. All right. And don't you get nervous looking up at that clock, amen, because some they have not set that hand back. It's an hour earlier than what is reading. All right. In the 18th verse of Colossians chapter 1, from the Greek text, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn out from the dead, that he might be the first one in all things. Now here, amen, there's a lot of information here, but it's going to require some scrutiny, and I think it's worth our while to check these things out. Amen. That we understand, amen, the gloriousness of our possession. As we scrutinize the contents of this verse, its conveyance accomplished the information concerning his eternal existence, which we talked about in the prior antecedent verses, his dominant role in creation, which is so prevalent to the identification of him as head over the church. As we said before, look into Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, Daniel chapter 2, verses 4, and Michael chapter 4, verses 1 and 5. And all of this is in the document, The Glorious Body of Christ, the church. And if you don't have one, there are some in the back. Amen. As we have given documentation of the testimony concerning Jesus, the Synoptic Gospels also document him as the one who did come and will fulfill all Old Testament prophecy.
Yes.
Amen. I notice we said will fulfill. And we take issue with the preterists that teach that all of the things that we know to be future have occurred. There are a lot of problems with that, but I don't want to get into that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But there's the documentation. But the more sure words of our gospel, amen, as we look at the writings in this context, amen, comprise the structure and the nature of the spiritual blessings that are assigned to God's elect.
Yes.
In the dispensation of grace. We were dealing in the Sunday school this morning, and as Elder Liberman was teaching us concerning the fact that it is our gospel that has the more superior information. It is more detailed, and there is more, amen, information there to give us enlightenment concerning the things of God. Now, in that sense, it is in this age that God has established the body of Christ.
Yes,
right. Amen. The church, which Jesus is the exclusive head of the body. Going into the grammar, and hit a couple of points, and as we move forward here, we have the phrase that reads, and I'm just going to give the actual translation, and he is the head of the body of the church. This term, this phrase rather, amen, we have the term head. Mm-hmm. Head. Okay. You notice in the reading of this verse, we have other terms, beginning and in the prior verses, firstborn. So we think about head, we think about beginning, and we think about firstborn. They all express the preeminence of Christ. He, amen, is most important. Amen. And I know that some of the so-called hierarchy of certain religious denominations address their head or the person that they consider to be their bishop or their leader. They use the term His Eminence, which is, if you look at that word, it means the one and only. So that doesn't fit anyone but the Lord. Huh? You can say that concerning Jesus. But don't ever, eminence means that here's someone that things could not exist to go on without. Now that moves every man. Amen, huh? that removes that takes that completely off the table. Amen. Now, I don't care how great a man has been in history when he failed the world and stopped. Right. Amen. Of course, if something happened to Jesus, we can give it all up. Nothing can happen to Jesus because he's gone.
Right.
Huh? But things cannot exist without him. Things can't go without him.
Glory.
There would be no existence. And that would be nothing without him. And so we must understand when we say these things. Beginning. Last week, I'm not going to go into that. Again, we went into John chapter 1, and we dealt with the first and second verse concerning the beginning and the verb that is in, that is itani, which is in the imperfect tense, which when you say the beginning, in the beginning was, you have expression of the verb that says this is continuous action in the past. Amen. And when you say beginning, you would have to go back to the beginning of the beginning and say that continuous action was in the beginning. Woo, hallelujah. And you see, we got to know when we say who Jesus is. He is the head. And he's been the head, amen, from the beginning. From the beginning, amen. When did God decree these things? In the beginning. What part of the beginning? You can't go back any further. Amen. We have to do like the lady said to the preacher when he got to a little, he got a little too enthusiastic and tried to go back to a time before God. And she said, wait a minute, you've gone too far. Come on back this way. Amen. There is no beginning beyond the beginning of who he is. He is the beginning.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. He always was and always will be. And this is important. For as we look at the origin of the decree of redemption and our redemption in the eternal realm, and as we express, as it expressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, oh my God, if people could just understand, amen, that this thing is all invested in the eternal realm, we wouldn't read scriptures and get so mixed up, amen, and understanding what the conveyance is. Even in the Old Testament, such terminology carries the meaning of chief or origin in the sense of the word as it is used here in this context. So when we say body of Christ, we're not talking about organizations. Amen. We're talking about a new creation, amen, that goes beyond what we see. In other words, the church does not mirror a society, but it is defined in terms of a relationship, amen, that is in Christ. And we can't go any further than to say, in Christ. And when we understand this, we know that this is the epitome of what grace is. What is grace? It is a fashioning of the elect for the inheritance. I don't think y'all got that. Unmerited. That he took that which didn't belong and made it to be. The very opposite of his value, the very opposite of his nature, the very opposite of his being. Don't you know that in Christ you are the very opposite of what humanity and what the praised nature is? You are the very opposite in the essence of Christ Jesus. And just as the praise as we are now, we in him, in Christ, we are the very opposite. Holy, pure, sanctified.
Glory to God. Thank you. Glory. Hallelujah.
That's right. Now, what is the value of this? You know, I'm having these problems, and you know, life it seems to be a drag. Things are weighing me down, you know. What good is that? Amen. Well, as I said to you earlier today, the course of life and the things of life, God in his sovereignty has already planned and laid out for every individual life.
Thank God.
Hi. And your course may not even follow what you want. In fact, in most cases, I guess. You know. You know. And we look at things that happen around us as opposed to us. And we even say something either wrong with us or something wrong with God or something's wrong with both us and God. Because this ain't right. But God is sovereign.
Glory. Yes.
And in the sphere of time, he has sovereignly laid out everything concerning and touching your present life.
Yes, indeed.
As we look into history,
Glory.
I would suppose that when Abraham, and I go into the Old Testament, because most of us we can follow that pretty closely. When Abraham first time went down into the Promised Land, he would have preferred everything to have been just like God said. But that wasn't God's course.
Come on.
And all those promises that he made Abraham, it pleased him to yet to this day have not brought them to manifestation. But because he said it, it's going to happen.
That's right.
But it didn't happen like Abraham thought. Joseph would if Joseph could have stripped his life, he would not have wanted to have been sold into slavery by his brothers.
That's right.
And go through that very, very unpleasant experience. Moses would have preferred that God had just come into Egypt and to have delivered the children of Israel and not go through having been driven out into the desert and go through all of those changes. And we can go all the way down the line. And even as we look into the so-called New Testament, and we look at the lives of the disciples, and we look into the era of the grace dispensation, and We look at the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle Paul, the thing that they suffered. Do you think that these men would have sat down and scripted that for their lives? No. It's the human nature to take the easiest way, the path of least resistance. Huh? No pain, no problem, no trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. If we could course our life out, I don't think anybody sitting here this morning would order anything but a clear path for sailing on through here. But I'm telling you, you are not the author. God is the author. God is the creator. God, you ought to hear me this morning.
Amen.
And he's sovereign. Can you say he's sovereign?
He's sovereign.
And he has a right.
That's right.
And he has, amen, laid out the course of your life. And so everything that you encounter, every contender, every force, all of the vicissitudes of life that face you, amen. I know they don't teach this. They say the devil is doing it, but God has ordered it, because the devil can't do anything except, amen, God allows it. And God will only allow things that fit to the operation of the design of his decree. Amen. But my problem is our concentration is not on God.
That's right.
You know where our concentration is?
That's right.
It's ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Subconsciously, we are more important than God is. No, we don't consciously come out and say that.
No.
Amen. Huh? But every emotion that's in each one of us is firstly focused on satisfying ourselves. We may even sing the songs, "I want to please the Lord and not myself." But that's not what your flesh is saying. That's not what my flesh is saying. And when you see someone operating in the vein, God has caused them to do that. Because in the emotional aspect and dictates of our flesh, it's about what we want and what pleases us. And I like the song that the old folk used to sing, "When you see me walking right, God's using me. I'm being called to do it. It ain't me." Huh? When you see me talking right, it's not me, it's God. It's him causing me to do it. I've been arrested to the point that I'm doing something that is against my very nature.
That's right.
Of what I want to do.
That's right.
But this is the way he is working it out. Pastor Paul would not have ordered the things, as he writes on one occasion, and he speaks about perils of waters and perils of countrymen, night and the day in the deep. Amen. Huh? All of the sufferings taken outside of Lystra and stone, left for dead. Paul, a man who had, amen, monetary and economic means until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and from that point never had another nickel to rub against another. Paul, a man who was in good health,
yes.
Amen, but after he met Jesus, all the way to his grave, he took that infirmity. Paul would not have written this. Amen. Paul would not have scripted this. Amen. But, he testified in another place that the life that I live is not my own, because I'm born with a purpose, the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. And I belong to him, and I move, I That's a lesson that it's tough, isn't it, huh? Because all the while we got the flesh to saying it's me, huh?
Yeah.
When in essence it's not about you, it's not about me. It's about Him. In fact, it's all about Him.
Glory.
Growing and maturing in God is learning to live with the mindset that is all about Him.
Amen.
That's what the process of God's maturity takes us, as He causes us, amen, to dwell, amen. And He has to live in us to cause us, amen, to abide in the mainstream of His will and for His pleasure, because we would never do it ourselves. Oh no, we wouldn't. None of us. Amen. Because the flesh is crying out to be pampered. Amen. Huh? And to be attended to. Our flesh, the very nature of the old man, he's crying out. Amen. He's saying, satisfy me, satisfy me, satisfy me. Amen. The Spirit of God, amen, as God calls us to rest us. Amen. As Paul said, that we don't walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. All right, give me about 10 minutes. I'm going to wind this up this morning. Amen. He has designed us as designated ones. As designated ones, we're sons. Follow me now. We're sons that have been fashioned and suited, amen, and fitted, listen to this, in the heavenly state, habitually by the powerful influence of His Spirit. I think I'll say that again. Those of us who are designated, the elect of God, we have been fashioned. We are designed as fashion ones, suited and fitted in the heavenly state habitually by the powerful influence of His Spirit. Follow me now. What this depicts is the effectuation of the divine power to impose His nature upon selected ones.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He said, well, God wouldn't force Himself on you. Amen. If God didn't force Himself on you, the two of you would never get together.
That's it. Yes.
Hmm?
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
You don't make a decision for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's popular saying.
Yeah.
You don't decide to be saved. You don't decide to walk with God. You don't decide to love Him. There's nothing within our nature that loves God or wants Him or desires Him or that is attracted to Him. Huh? For selected, designated ones,
yes.
He has in the eternosphere.
Yes.
Through the determined will of His power, impose His nature upon you.
Glory.
And upon me.
Mm-hmm.
By force, if you will.
Yes.
It is the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is by His Spirit that He has overruled the forces of nature and what we are by nature.
Yes.
And took that which is vile and has made it pure.
Woo.
Taking that which is physical and calm and natural and made it spiritual. It is God that has worked within us what we are according to His will. Yes, He has forcefully saved you. No, He wouldn't. Well, how did you get saved? Well, I decided. I made a decision. If someone has that conception, it is merely because he has not given them the enlightenment,
yes,
of what depravity is. And what depravity's limitations are. And what depravity's tendencies are. And the fact that the nature of sin for mankind is repugnant to God. And as repugnant as he is to God, God is repugnant to him. He would reject the nature, the human nature will reject God and absolutely not want to have anything to do with him. And I know there's a saying in the world, and it's talking about sometimes that men and women are opposites of track, but that don't go here. Huh? Here's a case where opposites repel. Huh? My ways are what? I'm corroborating now from the Old Testament. Not your ways. And my thoughts are what?
Not your thoughts.
Thoughts. And neither is my nature your nature. In fact, the very opposite. What we're trying to do is to drive home these truths so that we'll get the understanding of what God has done for us and who we are.
Thank you, Jesus.
That we'll come to appreciate him. Because as you come to appreciate him, you come to appreciate life.
Yes.
As you appreciate the essence of who you are in him, no matter what's going on around you, you appreciate life. Because Apostle Paul understood this, he could write, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm found. Huh? Whatever's going on around me. Huh? Here's a man who's in jail, and he's writing, encouraging others. Amen. And he's just so happy that the gospel, he said, I'm bound. And Paul, he said, they got Paul shut up, but they don't have this gospel shut up. Huh? You see, as we come to get this lesson and to understand who we are, life is not a drag. No, life is joyful. Life is blissful. It has nothing to do with my state of affairs as I journey through here. As to whether I'm sick, or whether, amen, I'm hungry, or whether I'm broke, or as to whether whatever is going on around me, trouble at home, trouble, amen, on the job, trouble wherever, it doesn't matter, amen. If I'm in him, I know that the joy of life is invested in that which God has given unto me in the eternal spiritual realm.
Glory to God.
This is why our focus is on the word that is found in our gospel, because it goes to the eternal realm first.
Yes, yes.
You think that that the gospel is about solving the problems around us. No.
Jesus.
Ultimately, it does that. But the process is to go into the eternal realm.
Yes.
And that's why, at least here, even as long as I'm pastor, the subject would be the doctrines of salvation. It would be ludicrous for me to stand here this morning talking about the world problems. And what we can do, what we can do to help changes to change. That's a lie. We can't do anything. It's a waste of time. Say we get together, we can stamp out of hunger. That's a lie. We get together, we can we can save mankind. That's a lie. We can change mankind. You got men preaching from the pulpit this morning what the prescriptions of things that needs to be done to save America, bring America back. Where is America gone? America is, God hasn't lost control of America or anything else that he created. Everything is operating within the vein of where God has decreed it and moved it. Amen. And there's a course and a plan, and everything is on target and moving right on time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, our focus has to be in the avenue of the equipping of the saints according to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. The work of the ministry is not the saving of the world. The work of the ministry is not the feeding of the world. The work of the ministry is not stamping out diseases. And I'm not saying these organizations that work and do these things and have this place, God has designed that too. But for his church, the focus has to be on the eternal aspect of our relationship, amen, with him. Oh my God.
Yes.
Thank you,
Jesus. Yes.
We missed it.
We did.
So we dare to talk about propitiation, sanctification, redemption, justification, regeneration.
Yeah.
Huh? Yes, we major in the Asians.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Get this knowledge and understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. So we can be solidified in the knowledge of our relationship with him.
Yeah.
Amen. Because we're in Christ. Do you know you are in Christ? If you are his designated this morning, you are in Christ.
Yes, right.
Your place is already set. You are eternally positioned.
Yes.
Amen. And all the other things that go on, God's got plans for that. Amen. But our ultimate focus must be where God has positioned and placed us. What has he planned for you in the eternal realm? Now time is moving on, and I'm not just talking about the clock, but I'm saying in the ages, they're moving on. Time is moving on.
Yes.
The clock is moving. It's ticking, and it's only going one way. It's not going back and forth. It's moving forward. You can't turn to yesterday or next week, last week. Neither can you jump to next week. Amen. God, you're locked into the time. But see, God is not.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
We must understand this.
Yeah.
Problems and troubles and situations, that's part of the territory of going through the depraved environment.
That's right. Yeah. That's it. Amen.
Trouble-free? No. I believe the child of God can get to the point of being worry-free, but not worry-free because there are no troubles.
Come on,
worry-free because in spite of the troubles, he's not going to worry.
Yeah.
I believe God can take us there.
Yeah.
He said, aren't you concerned? Yeah, from the natural standpoint, I am concerned, but my concern ain't going to change nothing. We're stressing ourselves out, worrying about our jobs, worrying about the parents, worrying about the children.
Huh.
Be concerned about them, but don't let them take you to your grave.
Amen.
Hmm?
Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Several of them, if the mother stayed up all night praying, and because of that, the child was delivered. That's not true. If that child was delivered, it was God's decree. First of all, it's Paul on one occasion was said, amen, how that he was mapped out and he was chosen from his mother's womb or before his mother's womb to be an apostle.
Yes.
And he didn't know that.
He
was out there of committing murder, killing, killing God's people, persecuting them, causing them to blaspheme, doing all of these crazy things. The worst man in the world. The Jews hated him. Some of them feared him. Some of them hated him. Amen. He was making havoc of the house of God, and all the time, God, amen, he was God's chosen, amen, and God's anointed, if you please, to receive the revelation of the mystery. So wherever God has mapped out for that child,
amen.
I'm not saying we don't pray, and we don't make our wishes, but you get through, you say, Lord, let your will be done. And whatever it is, amen. Because you're not going to change a thing. He said, well, if we get together, we can change things. And I know that's being widely preached to Christians of the day.
Yeah.
Of what we can change and what we can do. And oh my God, all you got to do is read.
Glory to God.
And you'll see that there's nothing that you can do. Except abide where God has placed you. Where has he placed us? In the body of Christ. Not for months we have dealt with, and looks like at least probably through the first of the year, amen, before we close out on this. And there's another document there, another 20-some pages that I'm just going to hold, amen, put in another document, God's our eternal union in Christ, that documents a whole lot of other information. But these are things that we need, and God has decreed it.
Yes.
That those whom he has selected will receive this information. And I say, I believe the process of God is that those that receive it will walk in peace.
Glory.
And tranquility. I'm going to finish up this one thing here.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Observe that all those who were designed to search were eternally prepared before. This heavenly fitness is totally invested in the worth and value of the head. And so it is solely in this sense that one can state that those who are sanctified shall be glorified. As such is forever indebted to the grace of God which has sanctified them. For it is in this sense that he is distinguished both God and mediator. And we'll move on into this vein next week. Look up, receive this, amen, take it, hide it in your heart. The Spirit of God works through us, in us. He molds us and he shapes us and he causes us to walk as children of God, amen, who have received the message and the understanding, amen, that as we go sweeping through here, and yes, I'm not being facetious, as we sweep through life, amen, and sweeping through life, it's a matter of the mindset, that whatever is going down, amen, these are all incidents on our way to a glorious inheritance, because we are members of his glorious body, the church. God bless you.
Hallelujah. 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 That's good.